honorable members of the committee, colleagues, good morning. I will take you through the presentation as provided. In the main, the presentation would cover the outline, and in the outline we'll deal with the purpose, we'll deal with the background, we'll deal with the new obligation that arises out of the amended Convention on the Protection of Nuclear Material, the strategic importance of the CGPNN, the implementation plan, and the conclusion. The purpose is that we present the committee on the amended Convention on Physical Protection of the Material, and we are then presenting the progress that we have made in terms of the acceptance of the amendment to the Convention on Physical Protection of Nuclear Material. We will also be requesting support for the committee that South Africa ratify the amendment to the Convention on Physical Protection of Nuclear Material. With regards to the background, the committee should note that the Convention on Physical Protection of Nuclear Material, the CPPNM, is the only legally binding international undertaking in the area of physical protection of nuclear material. The CPPNM was adopted in 1979 and entered into force in 1987. We have attached the original CPPNM for the members of the committee as Annex A to this submission. The convention focuses on the physical protection of nuclear material used for peaceful purposes during the international transportation with the objective of preventing theft or unauthorized use. The key provisions of the convention cover international transport of nuclear material as well as establishment of a list of offenses that involves nuclear material. And member states undertake to make these offenses punishable under their national laws. And these are covered under Article 7 of the original convention. South Africa signed the convention in May 1981 and ratified it in September 2007. The 9/11 or the 11 September 2001 incident attack in the U.S. Resulted in the following: the increased security concerns on large-scale terrorism for nuclear facilities. It also then prompted the initiation of the amendment to expand the scope of the convention, considering the terrorism as a threat to nuclear facilities. Hence the amended convention of the physical protection of nuclear material facilities. The state parties to the CPPNM adopted by consensus an amendment to the CPPNM to strengthen its provisions on 8 July 2005. We have attached the amended convention as Annex B to this presentation for the committee. With regards to the new obligations now that come up with the amended convention, in the main, the amended convention broaden the scope of the CPPNM to also include physical protection requirements for nuclear facilities and nuclear material in domestic use, storage, and transport. It provides the expanded cooperation between and among states regarding the rapid measures to locate and recover stolen or smuggled nuclear material, mitigate any radiological consequences of sabotage, and prevent and combat related offenses. the convention also provides for criminalization of new and extended specified acts. Those acts are specified under paragraph 9 to 10 of the amended CPPMM, which we attach as Annex B in the presentation for the committee. It provides for the sharing of the information on potential and actual attacks on nuclear material and facilities, and the provisions of assistance if such attacks should occur. It recognizes the right of all states to develop and apply nuclear energy for peaceful purposes and their legitimate interest in the potential benefits to be derived from the peaceful application of nuclear energy. The amendment augments the national security of a state by providing a strengthened international framework, which includes the need to implement legislative, regulatory, and administrative obligations. In terms of the strategic importance of the amendment, is that the protection of the nuclear material is indeed one of the most effective ways of preventing or mitigating the catastrophic consequences that could result from terrorists gaining access to a nuclear material. Security of nuclear facilities is also recognized as an important aspect that needs national and global attention. Nuclear safety accidents at the nuclear power plant and other nuclear facilities have demonstrated that environmental and economic impacts of these accidents can be severe. The protection of nuclear material and facilities involves a broad range of activities on the international level as well as in individual countries. International law recognizes that each state has the responsibility for implementing these measures and for providing adequate protection for material in its possession. At the same time, the international community has established a set of international arrangements that help to create and maintain the international nuclear security regime, hence the importance of ratifying the amended CPPMM. The amended convention entered into force on the 8th of May 2016. The Department of Energy has presented the amended convention to the Cabinet on the 23rd of May 2018. The Cabinet granted approval for the convention to be presented to Parliament in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. Upon approval, Cabinet further prescribed that the nuclear physical infrastructure be protected by individuals who hold the relevant security clearance and hold South African citizenship. The directive has been communicated with the relevant institutions and compliance will be monitored accordingly. The letters requesting tabling to Parliament have been submitted to both the Speaker of National Assembly and the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. Once all the processes have been completed, the instrument of acceptance will be deposited with a depository through the diplomatic channel. In terms of the implementation plan, the provisions of the amendment to the CPPMM will be implemented in accordance with the legislative process as stipulated in the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The implementation of the amended CPPMM provisions will be in accordance with the following Act: the Nuclear Energy Act of 1999, Act 46 of 1999, the National Nuclear Regulator Act of 1999, the National Key Point Act of 1980, the Protection of Information Act of 1982, the National Strategic Intelligence Act of 1994, the Minimum Information Security Standard document, the Design and Basis Trade document, and any other relevant legislation. In terms of the explanatory note, it's important that we inform the committee that the explanatory note in the main gives the background to the amendments to the CPPNM, which has already been covered in this presentation. We have attached the explanatory note, the explanatory memorandum, as an attachment in this presentation as Annex 2. I think what is important is also to then assure the committee that the ratification of the amended convention, in our view, does not provide any new obligations that are not already addressed by the existing legislation in South Africa. And the legislation we've already discussed that lays out the basis upon which all obligations arises out of the amendment are being addressed. With regards to the conclusion, it is important to note that the international community supports the universalization of the amendments to the CPPNM, which is regarded as an important step towards making the world more secure by providing assurance that the same level of physical protection is applied throughout the world. Universalization is important, especially in the transfer of nuclear material, because all states to this convention will maintain the same level of physical protection. South Africa is supportive of this international community initiative, hence the acceptance of the amended CPPNM. We are therefore recommending that the committee consider and support that South Africa ratify the amendment to the Convention on Physical Protection of Nuclear Material. Thank you.
Setting of the presentation highlights that the cabinet has approved this document and the amendment, and that this infrastructure should be protected by individuals who hold a relevant security clearance. Now, where is this going to be located, the infrastructure itself? Because one would assume that when you speak of relevant security clearance, state security is also involved on that issue. Can you give clarity to this point on page 32?
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with the first question, which from the Honourable Member Farco, whether there is a deadline for ratification of this amendment. I think it is important for the committee to note that a number of countries have already ratified this amendment. As it came to force on the 8th of May 2016, and therefore there is about 102 countries that have already ratified the amendment in 2017, and therefore South Africa, as a member state to this convention, as an obligation to consider and ratify it soon, because it is one of the confidence building measure in terms of giving assurance to all the member states that the member states do ratify the convention, so that South Africa then also is subjected to the universalization of the security measures. That means South Africa is also then complying with the standard nuclear security requirements which all member states are supposed to comply with. And what is also then important is that South Africa, by ratifying the amendment, would not be be subjected to any additional obligations which are not already addressed by the South African existing legislation. In South Africa, we've indicated in the presentation that we do already have a legislation that provides the framework that would regulate the activities or the areas that are being coming up from the amendment of the Convention on Physical Protection of Nuclear Material. So it is important that South Africa ratify the convention as soon as possible, once all the legislative processes and parliamentary processes have been concluded, Chairperson. Then, with regards to the question raised by Honourable Mohamed Lala regarding the directive of Cabinet to ensure that the individuals who are looking after the nuclear infrastructure have got the relevant vetting and they are South African citizens. And the Honourable Member asked, where will this nuclear infrastructure be located? What is important is that to recognize that South Africa already has the nuclear infrastructure in terms of our nuclear facilities that exist in the Western Cape. We've got Quebec, which is the only commercial nuclear power plant in Africa generating electricity. So that's one of the infrastructure that's located in the Western Cape and others. We've got also our nuclear facility, Lexa, which is in Pelindaba, which is one of the leading South African nuclear institutions or facilities. We are the leader in terms of our production of radioisotopes in terms of nuclear medicine, and also other facilities are also located in different provinces in the country, and even the newer ones, if we go forward, this would then necessarily require that the relevant officials that are providing nuclear security at these facilities would then need to be vetted and would then need to be of South African citizens. So this directive will then apply going forward in all the South African nuclear facilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I've heard and thank you for the presentation. We've heard about the protection and the security, the physical protection, but nowhere as I see or I've heard, as was mentioned, of cyber protection, of unenforced entry in any nuclear facilities, documentation or emails. Nowhere is it mentioned about cyber protection. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, thank you, Chair. It's page 6 on the presentation. It says the last paragraph. South Africa signed the CPPMN NM in May 1981 and ratified it in September 2007. How long does it take to ratify this CPPPNM? And if it's a period of 5 years, what happened before the 5 years, or even if it's 10 years, in between the 10 years, what happened if there might be some other unnecessary wrongdoings by the parties signed this CPPNM? Thank you, Chair.
Mr. Mambo, before you respond to another question from Sal, just a few technical questions. In 2007, Mr. Court, I'm raising to answer to another question. Which section of the Constitution are you using? The last time Zimbabwe came here with some international agreement and tabled them in terms of some section of the Constitution. And later there was a dispute that ended up in the High Court about which section of the Constitution ought to be used. So I want to be absolutely sure that section that was used in that we're using now is consistent with the ratification of 2007. And so I see that you say that Sumi took a decision to table this before Parliament granted approval for the convention to be presented to Parliament in terms of Section 2312 of the Constitution. If you can explain why 2312 of the Constitution. I don't know if you can answer the other question, but it's the same question. The issue I'm raising is, are we sure that we can be in terms of the correct section of the Constitution? So, I'm sure that before you are coming up granted approval to table in terms of this section, you can have applied this man that 2312 of the Constitution is the correct section. So, if you can explain that. And lastly, the important question raised by Honourable Faku about, so how soon should we send this to the House? Mr. Rico brought me something there, assuming that members will accept this report that we sent to the Speaker of the National Assembly. But it does appear on our fact, whatever we do, we want to go to the peace, not this year, before we run the service. So, potential sometime. I'm saying potential sometime. So, there is nothing in the referral that shows that this is something that's urgent. Can potentially even be done by. But as soon as our committee has adopted the report, we'll submit it. We adopt it today, we'll submit it. So, but if the kind of things that are outstanding for this one, for this year, for this calendar, for the 27th of December, the period of time that we're going to have next year in light of the national elections, I doubt that this parliament will be able to certify this. I doubt that there's too much evidence in relation to this. You see, the cabinet that the witness is certified, was in fact adopted in 2017, 2016, and only 2018 in May, cabinet. There's nothing before us that says that we're under extreme pressure to, at least at the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, to ratify this decision. But Mr. Mbako responds to the question. And when the honorable members have adopted the report, I will sign, and only when we are sure that we are using the correct section of the Constitution. Okay. You can start, Honorable Mr.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will start with the question raised by the Honorable Member HDZ around the cyber. Security, cyber protection. The international community considers the cyber security. It is currently being addressed in terms of the guidance document of the International Atomic Energy Agency. And South Africa is a member of the International Atomic Energy Agency. We have got the nuclear experts from South Africa who participate in these committees that are busy dealing with these documents. Then the other one was then raised by the Honorable Matlala around the question as to how long does it take to ratify the CPPNN. think what is important is that there is a process that this international convention goes through. They first needs to be endorsed by the member states, and then they come into force. And after they then come into force, that's when now the different member states need to then ratify them in terms of following their own domestic processes. Similarly, as South Africa, we've adopted in the convention. We've adopted the convention in 1987, and that convention on physical production of nuclear material is in force in South Africa. We ratified it. We are operating in accordance with the original convention. However, now that as member states, the convention was then amended, South Africa then also has an obligation in terms of ratifying this amendment. We've undertook a process in terms of making sure, and this is going to also address the question raised by the chairperson, to make sure that we undertake a legal process to subject these amendments to our international, to the Chief State Law Advisor, International Law, as well as Chief State Law Advisor, Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, and respectively, they had given their opinion in terms of the Chief State Law Advisor, Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, gave an opinion that this to be the amendment to this convention would need to be tabled in terms of would need to be tabled in Parliament in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution, and therefore follow that process. And hence, that's the reason that we are then recommending that it be followed through that process in terms of the tabling, chairperson. Then in terms of how long, then I had already also indicated that it's then guided by following through the domestic process of each of the member states. Now, as South Africa, we are now following our own domestic process in making sure that we follow all the legislative requirements that are required for the convention, for the amendments to be ratified. And so we will then follow all of them. It depends as to the when it's presented to the different structures of government, in Parliament, for it to then finally be ratified. And after Parliament has approved it, there will also be a process of them taking it through the diplomatic channel for it to be deposited. So there's still a process, but it is important that we work on this process so that South Africa can then ratify the amendment as a member state to the already existing Convention on Physical Protection. Thank you.
Mr. Mbambo is saying that the last ratification was in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, he said so.
Correction, Chairperson, it was in 2007, September.
Then 11 years later, you want to ratify again. Is there no systematic process in terms of ratification? Because if it will take you 11 years to ratify, what will happen in between, which is the question that Dumazala asked earlier on, because if you are ratifying after a decade, I think it's going to be problematic. There has to be some kind of a process that guides the member states in terms of ratifying these conventions, because it can't be that every decade you are ratifying. So it's something that I think must be corrected at whatever level. I don't know which level is that, but you can't have a document amended a decade after. What if South Korea uses those nuclear weapons of mass destruction? What are you going to do? Because sometimes they do that. Probably we'll wake up when they do it here in our country, and it will take us another 11 years to ratify. So why is it that ratification takes a decade? Was it the agreement of the member states? I don't know. What's the rationale behind that? Because if you last ratified 2007 and it's now 2018, it's 11 years. So I really need clarity on that, Chair, because it's important for us to know the period that is informing the ratification itself. If ratification must be done every decade, we must be told. Thank you.
Yeah. And I'm happy you said South Korea.
Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies, Chairperson, for being late. One thing that I want to understand, in fact, one of the things I want to understand, Chairperson, is, and it's on top of what Honorable Tandi has just said, why the changes? And also, in terms of the ratification process, can you please explain the process to us? Because, like Honorable Tandi is saying, that why it took 11 years. So what is the process from now, so that we don't rush the process? Chairperson, we are told that we have to approve immediately, because I'm also of the opinion that perhaps it's not even urgent for us to approve the changes. And also, I'm also very concerned, like when I entered here, the Chairperson was asking if that is the right section of the Constitution, whether we are using the right section of the Constitution. And I think perhaps what needs to be incorporated to the report is the legal opinion, whether we are on the right track in terms of this process. Thank you very much.
We also just checking, because we're really doing an amendment to what was ratified on the Parliament. Just an amendment. But it's important for me is we're doing this in line with the section that, in terms of the section that was used in 2007, because we merely doing an amendment, not an original. Honorable Ma Abunda.
Thanks, Chair. I appreciate the presentation, Chairperson. However, this presentation is brought to the committee for noting, or it is brought to the committee to open for discussion. Can I get it from the office? Thanks, Chair.
From the hospital.
Yeah, I said, can I get it from the hospital? Mr. Mbambo?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the questions from the members. The main question that I hear is the question as to why do we need to ratify the amendment after 11 years. I think it's very important for the committee members to note that as South Africa, we are ratifying the amendment, and also then for the committee to note that the reason that the convention had to be amended was triggered by the events of September 11 with the incident that took place in the U.S., whereby then member states recognized that there is a need to strengthen the convention by broadening its scope. So that's the reason that then we are now having to ratify it after that. There was a need after there was September 11 that certain amendments have to be done, and member states had to incorporate these amendments into their national legislation. And that's the reason that we as South Africa, as a member state to the convention, when the convention is then amended, we then have to assess ourselves whether the amendments are in line with South African domestic legislation and international obligation. And the opinion that we've received from both chief state law advisors was that these amendments are in line with the South African domestic and international obligation, and hence we then recommending that we South Africa ratify the amendment. Then I think I've covered both the Honorable Mohamed Hlala and the Honorable Qatar's question, but the Honorable Qatar was then asking what process would then be followed after the committee has supported the amendment. Then after the committee has supported the amendment that South Africa can ratify, then it will go to Parliament on both houses, the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. Once Parliament has debated and approved that South Africa can then ratify the amendment, there will then be the process of accepting the amendment, which will then be deposited with the depository through the diplomatic channel to the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA. Yes, Chairperson, I confirm we will provide the two legal opinions that we obtained by the department.
So, in essence, Mr. Mambo, the ratification of CPTNM is done when the need arises.
That is correct, Honorable Mohamed.
What's happening, Honorable Kala?
On the same matter, Honorable Chair, Mr. Mbambo is not answering my question. It was asked us by Honorable Mohamed Hlala, it was a follow-up, but I didn't get an answer from Mr. Mbam. I normally say in these committees several since 2004 that if you don't have an answer, please don't try to convince the committee and take a wrong decision, a wrong decision in fact. Because at the end of the day, these things is going to haunt the committee and the chair in particular, the one who was chairing that meeting on that day, that we were sleeping on the job. We couldn't see what's actually happening. Because here we're talking things that is affecting the lives of the people of member states, in particular us here. One of the things that Honourable Mahambe asked is that are we rectifying these things only if there are events? If there are no events, there's nothing, don't rectify this convention. Like it says to Mr. Mbambo, says we the member state ratified the convention after the September 11, something that occurred somewhere in America. And if that thing didn't happen, there would be no need for member state to ratify this convention. We only ratify convention if there are events. If there's nothing, we don't. So the issue is, in that 10 years, what happened? Is there any monitoring mechanism of member states on the convention so that they must not become called together to say, hey, we're foreseeing a problem in the future. Can we do this thing? So I want to check with Mr. Mbambo as to whether in between that period, is there any monitoring mechanism to monitor the activities of these problems that we might envisage in the future? Thank you, Chair. If you don't have an answer, Mr. Mbambo, please don't manufacture the answer. Say no. I will consult with my seniors. Yeah, maybe we'll want the minister and one day chair to sit in this committee, because if we are going to rush this thing to take it urgently to parliament, we are foreseeing a future. We're going to burn our fingers. So we must be given more time and space to study these things, because if you rush, you are in trouble, Chair. We rather maybe leave it for the next parliament, the sixth parliament, if we don't want to burn our fingers. But if we want to burn our fingers, let's rush it. Then we are in trouble. We are not assisting. Thank you, Chair. Yeah.
Thanks. I'm of the understanding that if the committee really this submission is called the committee for noting, I don't think we have to struggle ourselves maybe to understand everything that is there, because for us as a committee is for noting. And it goes wherever it's supposed to go. So I think maybe even my question is not answered. So that is the thing, Chairperson. That is our understanding. Maybe I'm not clear about what is happening in this case.
Just before you
comment,
no, that's an important question, Honorable. Okay, let me. I'm curious. It's just the typical things that we need to resolve. Mr. Mbambo will come to a question. So, Honorable Bunda, you're right. So, on section 231(2) of the Constitution says, an international agreement binds the Republic only after it has been approved by resolution in both the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces. unless it is an agreement referred to in subsection 3. And in subsection 3, it is a technical agreement that's just for noting. So this one is not for noting. It's for consideration of the committee. You must adopt it and then recommend to the House for approval. So we're not noting it. We consider it. So that's why these questions. And for me, the main issues were, are we doing this? Is the section we using the correct section? So we'll go back to check the 2007 ratification. But let's deal with the rest of the other questions. And before we go on to Paco, last time the Department of Energy told us that they have legal advice on the other agreement that ended up at the Cape High Court. And the court found otherwise. So I think it is important that we see the legal advice ourselves as the first step. The second step is to just make sure for our parliamentary legal services that both the legal opinions and the tabling is correct. It looks quite correct at face value, but we must make 100% sure that we're proceeding on the correct basis. And I'm sure we have space on our battle to do that. So another problem.
I was about to say the convention. This is an existing legislation. The only thing we need to do is to deal with the amendment. And I agree with my colleagues that it has taken too long because the amendment was triggered by the September 11. So we are now in 2018. The cabinet ratified in May. We are only now. So it's taking too long. So I was tempted to say, let us not keep it as the committee, keep it further. Delay further. What's better to be on the countries that are compliant than to be on the countries that are found wanting. But however, the chairperson has covered me to say the legislation must be 100% sure about the legislation. It must, everything must be attached as it proceeds to the parliament. Otherwise, not for me, I don't have a problem that we adopt it, provided that those clear legislation are attached. Thank you.
Respond to the original question of Honourable Makar, what happens in the intervening period of 10 years, because that's the first question that you asked, so respond to that question. So on our part, I don't think there's too much difficulty in adopting this. This is not an original approval. We're merely approving an amendment to an existing convention. All I'm saying is we must just make sure that it is tabled correctly in terms of the section of the Constitution. So, but the members must satisfy themselves with regard to the question that they've asked. I don't think we have difficulty. Let's just have side of the legal opinion, let's hear what the parliamentary legal services are saying, and then we can proceed. But it's not too complex. I mean the amendment itself. It is really the tabling of, in terms of the correct section of the Constitution, that is what we quite said about. Please answer those questions, Ms. Mbambo. So I don't want you are the host, ne? So I don't want to speak on your behalf. So because I thought that we could still explain to honorable members what could happen from the original adoption of the convention, and then what happens? What happened between that time and 2011? That when there were amendments, and why has it taken so long between that time of September 11th? So just explain those so that we don't have to call that. Okay, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Members. With your permission, Chairperson, I request that my colleague here, the Chief Director, deal with those questions with regards to giving clarity as to what happened when the original amendment was ratified in that 11 years up to now.
Mr. Mbambo, not to manufacture quite answers here.
Yeah, he's running away anyway, it's fine.
Yeah.
The Chief Director will answer the
question. Yeah, we can resolve that one outside.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll start with the one that is asking what happens in between after the convention has been ratified or has been enforced. What happens in between? What happens is that as a member state of the International Atomic Energy Agency, if there is any matter related to enhancing nuclear security, the department starts implementing even before we can go, even before ratification is granted by our country. So in terms of this, in terms of this convention, we know that it has taken us too long, but however, we have been compliant in terms of ensuring that we comply in terms of the international requirements. And also that, as you are aware, that even when we do the ratification, the processes take too long. And also the country, we want the fact that once the ratification has been made, because it is legally binding, it is important that we are not seen to be one thing. And also, nuclear security is evolving with technology. As the Honorable Member indicated, that there is an issue of cyber security. So what we do, we also conduct a relevant training with the International Atomic Energy Agency to ensure that we are well capacitated to ensure that the material and the nuclear, I mean the nuclear material as well as the nuclear facilities are well staged. And then there was another question regarding why the changes, that is why the amendment of the convention, and the issue that it was realized or initiated by the USA incident. I think we know that we are all international or global community, meaning that if something happens in another country, it might happen to you. The issue is that in terms of the original ratification, it was only considering nuclear material during international transportation. It did not include the facilities or the material while they are in the domestic use. So then the issue was that during the 9/11, the targets were the two towers of the Trade Center in the USA. So the question was, what could have happened if those target facilities were nuclear facilities? Because if you target the nuclear facilities, it means that there will be radiological releases. And as a result, even South Africa, we have nuclear facilities, which means that it will also impact on us. If, for example, an aeroplane hits Kubek nuclear power station, it means that there will be a release. So as a result, the international community, that we need to ensure that we are evolving together with the technologies that are coming. And I think we know that we cannot rule out that somebody cannot pilot the aeroplane in our own facility. So it is not because we are saying we are ratifying because the U.S. this happens in the USA. It's just because we want to strengthen nuclear security internationally and globally. Because if, for example, somebody hits our nuclear facility, it will impact the neighboring states as well. That is why it's an international issue, that if something happens to us, it will impact the international community as well. So I think that is the main reason that South Africa also wants to ratify the convention. In addition, we are importing and exporting the nuclear material. When we import, let's say we import the material from USA or from Russia or from any other member state, then that material, the exporter of that country will want to be assured that their material will be under the relevant physical security standards. That is why then, if let's say all of us, we are now, we have ratified, it will mean that we will be, the convention will be binding us to ensure that the security measures that we have are the one that is acceptable internationally.
No, it's clear, Chair. Mbambo, Mr. Mbambo, was very technical in answering me. You see, they gave me a very simple thing, that what the bed is there. An aeroplane.
Why are you not using the microphone?
Oh.
Maybe just to finalize, I think that
yeah.
Okay, the other thing was that what are the monitoring tools that we do? As a member state, we have the IAEA, which provides us with capacity to have peer reviews. And then as a country, you can request a peer review that the IAEA will come here and then review your own security measures. And even ourselves, we can even do self-assessment to our own facilities. Just to give an example, NEXA was also passed the test in terms of the nuclear security measures, which was conducted by the USA. So I think that as a country, even if we have not yet ratified, we are ensuring that we are compliant. The only thing is that if you have not ratified, you are not giving the country that will be giving the material assurance that your security standards are matching the international standards.
You say USA? Mm-hmm.
Well, she did. You have to, Mr. Bama.
Yes, Chairperson, I agree.
Honorable Mohamed Salah.
Chair, my interest is in knowing how many member states that are part of this and how many of those that have ratified or complied with this process. Well, probably, Ms. Mbamba, you can mention them because Utatumabunda is whispering whether that includes South Korea. Everyone is scared of South Korea.
South Korea.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Can you give us the list? Quite a significant number has ratified so far.
Mm-hmm.
You said 100 and something. So give us the list. So that will give us an indication of which countries across the world, the North and South.
And we'll be able to have this balance of law.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah.
There are 102 countries that have ratified the amendment to the convention. We will provide you the list of the countries that have ratified. Thank you.
In total, how many? 102.
102.
In total.
Of 155 yeah. countries.
155.
Yes. And they ratified it in 2017. Originally, it was ratified by 155 countries. Now the amendment is now ratified by 102 countries as of 2017. We will then provide the list to the committee.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, on how to proceed, okay, honourable members can pause here now on this convention. Honourable Kata, I think it's important for the country to ratify the convention. This is merely an amendment. But there are issues that have been raised. So, just in line with what Honourable Fakus I think it shouldn't take us long after today because we have received the presentation. The Honourable Mr. Mbambo will provide us with this. Will provide us with the legal opinion from state law advisor and the one from the Department of Justice Constitutional Development. And then Mr. Korte will make sure that the National Assembly ratified this convention in terms of section 2312 in 2007, so that when we approve the amendment to the convention, those are in line with the ratification. So we'll bring it back next week. It shouldn't take us long. We'll circulate the document first, and then let's bring it back. Honorable Makala, so that we make sure that we don't burn our fingers and we can send it to the listeners for this consultation. With that, we are come to the end.
Thank you.
The host.